Hi, I'm Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm Steven Jondrew, and we're from Better Podcasting, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of the individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
How's it going, everybody? And welcome to the Audibly
Exquisite Podcast, episode 76. I'm Mike Norn with
Peter Melnick, and I'm joined with Mike Destroyer Norn.
Oh,
let's go with that one.
Yes.
Because 76 is what, Mike?
1976 is when Kiss's Destroyer album came out.
And I believe our fan of the friend and
also the age of my grandfather was when he died.
Oh, that's lovely. No, I don't.
And when Kiss dropped a Destroyer record.
Anyway, so, also, I believe that little Kiss factoid would be a big treat for our one friend and fan of the show, Joe St. Pierre.
Yeah, someone else too, Jared, right?
Yeah, Jared. So, also, we are brought to you by the Gunna Geek Podcast Network. Once again, go to www.gunnageek.com and find a plethora of various geeky goodness. Also, you can help support the show by going to patreon.com/audibly exquisite.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
The minimum is $2.
You can buy that for $2.
There we go. You can go as low as $2 and as high as 50. Fitty.
Pete, tell the folks some of the great shit they can get if they go on patreon.com/audibly exquisite.
You get our Audibly Exquisite newsletter, which is exclusive for all the people. That's actually what you get for as low as $2 a month. And then when you go up to $10 a month, you get that same newsletter, and you also get an episode of your choosing, which we're actually going to be recording for one of our Patreon users. It's Patreon user because it's a site. Anyway, Patreon supporters, there we go. Patreon supporters.
Just a little teaser for the one of the exclusive websites. Exclusive
episodes?
Yes. We will be detailing information on some of our Comic-Con shenanigans we get into.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, the one thing about we're trying to figure out whether it's going to be, you know, released for the people afterwards, like after X amount of months. Like, it could be, you know, a filler episode when we can't do something.
Or one you have to pay 99 cents for.
We still haven't figured it out, but the people who, you know, they also pick their topics. Like, we actually have a topic episode for the person, so.
Can we get a teaser on some of them?
I'll tell you off mic, but
okay.
They're
that good.
It's an interesting topic. I really dig it a lot. And then, you know, also when you go as high as $50, because it's only for 5 people, you can actually guest on this here fine program and talk with us.
And also, you may or may not get a chance to get a free t-shirt.
It is a possibility.
We do, at the end of the year, we're going to do a random drawing. And if there's one person in it, one person gets it.
I'm just going to draw dicks all over everything.
Yeah, but we're going to do a random drawing, like a lotto, for a t-shirt.
So now, Mike, how can people get a hold of us on social media?
www.audiblyexquisite.com/nothing.
Yeah, there we go. And also, you can find us on facebook.com/audiblyexquisite. You can find us on Twitter @TheAEPodcast, @PeterMelnick, and
@Mike_Norin.
Had to do a little bit of throwback because I accidentally did the @ for you just
That's
now.
That's fine.
It's a thing.
You can also my @ back.
You can also... here you go.
Thank you.
So now you can find us on Instagram @TheAEPodcast. You can find myself on Instagram, by the way, it's not @TheAEPodcast, it's @AudiblyExquisite. You can also find myself @PeterMelnick, where I post like pictures of vinyl I'm listening to from like every couple of months.
Mm.
So that's a thing. Mike, yourself, are you on the Instagrams?
Sure. Mike12765.
There we go. You can also, there's a wide variety of ways you can listen to this fine program. You can find us on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, and Podomatic. And also those last 3 I mentioned, available for all iOS and Android devices, so you can listen and stream on the go. And also, rate, review, subscribe, and share on iTunes. And please, 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 please spread the word like Nutella. So now, Mike, since our last episode, a little bit of goings-on have happened. I got to go see Doctor Strange.
Oh, does this bring us back to one of our old segments?
Well, there's like...
Should I find a babysitter?
For you, honestly, yeah. For this would be for you. And if anything...
Pete's spoiler-free review.
It kind of is, yeah.
Should Mike find a babysitter?
Basically, if you know the origin of Doctor Strange, this is the movie.
Okay.
But, I mean, in all honesty, I really dug Doctor Strange, but if I had to give it a rating out of 10, it would be a 7.5. It's not the lowest I've rated a Marvel movie, but it's the lowest I've rated while this show exists. So, I have to say, I liked Benedict Cumberbatch's portrayal of the character. I thought it was a visual extravaganza, but the thing about it is, it was very by the numbers. It was a very by the numbers Marvel movie. And I like the fact that they changed things up with, like, you know, things like humor.
Mm.
Humor was next to nothing in the film. It was more of like, you know, it was more what the film was supposed to be. It's kind of a serious affair.
And was it dark and gritty?
It wasn't dark and gritty, but when it incorporated humor, it incorporated it in the right moments.
Good.
And again, did I like it? Yeah, I thought it was, again, it was a fun film. But compared to the other films, like, you know, I went in, and this is the thing. Marvel has a success with making me give a shit about characters that I normally don't care about. After Guardians of the Galaxy, I became a humongous fan of the characters. And the most excited I was watching, you know, the movie was actually, believe it or not, prior when the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer popped up, the teaser trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I even got like, I will admit, I got goosebumps watching it because like I've already seen it. It's the one James Gunn posted on his Facebook page. But it was really cool to see on the big screen. You know, you see Drax, Star-Lord, Rocket, Groot, Gamora. I think Yondu was in there as well.
What would you rate the post-credits? Is it mid-credit? Is there mid-credit and post-credits?
There's mid and post.
Okay.
I was indifferent towards the post-credit scene, but the mid-credits was kind of cool. And again, it incorporated humor, which made sense because, you know, you want people like leaving on a lighthearted note if they're like leaving before the final like post-credit scene.
Yeah, not like a funeral.
It worked, you know, and... The person who appears, not going to give spoilers, but it leads to an upcoming film.
Okay.
So, but yeah, like, when it came to me watching the film, I highly recommend you all go spend the extra cash and go see it in 3D. Because it is the trippiest fucking thing I've ever seen. And there's at one point, you know, when he starts hallucinating for one of the first times... He looks at his hand, and little hands start growing on his fingers.
Ooh.
And then those fingers start growing hands, and those, and et cetera, et cetera. I was kind of getting like little flashbacks of the cat fingers.
Your old acid days.
I was getting flashbacks of cat fingers from Steven Universe, so that happens. But if I had to put this in the Marvel rankings, I did it on Facebook over the weekend. I would say maybe number 8.
Really?
Out of the 14 films, yeah.
How many batarangs would you give it?
three, give or take.
3 out of 5 batarangs?
Yeah, on the Mike Horn batarang scale. And by the way, people that listen inside the Batcave, we are coming back. Believe me, we are coming back. But anyway, with Doctor Strange, I enjoyed Cumberbatch's portrayal. You know, I thought he did a good job. The accent was very iffy. It just wasn't my cup of tea, and ironic because he's British. But yeah, so anyway. Now, with Doctor Strange, there's one thing that, you know, Benedict has been going on saying that he will be meeting the Avengers, and he's excited for this himself because he's a big fan, you know, on his own.
Mm-hmm.
If it was me, if I was in charge of, you know, incorporating him in, I wouldn't make a big deal about having him meet the Avengers. I wouldn't ever make a big deal about meeting the Guardians of the Galaxy. I would have Benedict Cumberbatch meet Everett K. Ross, the man who's involved with the Black Panther.
Who also plays Watson.
Correct.
Next to his Sherlock.
And my dream sequence, I posted this on Twitter over the weekend. My dream sequence would be this. You see Everett K. Ross meet Doctor Strange, Mr. Ross, Doctor Strange. And then for some reason it leads to them talking about, you know, I just spent the weekend... I actually saw a magic show in Britain over the weekend. I was there over the weekend. Oh, really? And they start using their actual British accents, and they start talking to each other in a British accent, you know, their real voice. And then you just, like, there's a beat, and then you just hear, we really can't do British accents. Just going back to their, you know, English, American accents. I think it would be the best scene in the whole
movie. Or just have someone, you guys are terrible at doing accents.
That would be so great, you know? And the funniest thing is Martin Freeman did a fantastic American accent when he was in Civil War.
He also did a really good one in Fargo. I think we talked about this before.
You most likely talked about the Fargo one because I haven't even seen that show. I've heard good things.
It's good.
They're bringing so many people into that show, by the way.
I just found out that the second season of Fargo is a prequel to season one of Fargo.
We have to go deeper.
We have to go back.
But yeah, like, what's his name? Jim Gaffigan just got announced he's going to be in season three. Because they like, you know, bringing in a comedic actor and having them portray, like, something, you know, serious. Like, a little bit more serious than what they normally do, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, they had Key and Peele in there.
Where?
Key and Peele were in season one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought you were talking about Doctor Strange for a second.
No, Fargo. Like, they were in that.
And yeah, they played FBI agents.
So, I don't know. I mean, going back to Doctor Strange, my feelings about it are they know what they're doing. Do I feel, though, we're getting... Like, this is what I want to talk to you about. Do you feel we're getting burnout with origin stories?
Yes.
Why?
Because everyone basically kind of know... They don't... Anytime someone... Most people, when they go see a movie, like, oh, let me see who Doctor Strange is. Wikipedia, boom. They know basically just of Doctor Strange.
I feel, though, it should have been a more interesting film for it to be an origin, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked it. But again, my hair wasn't blown back watching this movie. You know,
it was blown to the side, right?
Yeah, it was blown to the side, my undercut. No, but, you know, I don't know. It could have been better, but they did try. And, like, I will say this. In the overall ranking, because now this is the final comic book movie of 2016 for me, obviously, because there's nothing else coming out, I would say it's in a three-way tie right now. For the spot of number 3, 4, and 5 in that area, because it's like it's mixed. It's not in this particular order, but these three are fighting it all out for those three spots: Doctor Strange, Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, and Suicide Squad. Because I liked each of them a lot.
Okay,
but I'm not 100% where they would belong. You know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
Part of me wants to say I like Ninja Turtles a lot, but the thing is this with that film. It was a lot of nostalgia. A lot of nostalgia. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're hearing things like, you know, Technodrome, you see Krang for the first time, I'm feeling like, you know, a 4-year-old kid again. And it's like, oh, holy shit. I'm actually seeing, you know, characters that I grew up watching in a cartoon, and they're actually there on the big screen right now in front of me. I don't know. It's...
Surreal?
It's surreal, but it's also like, I feel like that might have hindered my enjoyment of it in the sense that that's why I enjoyed it. The story was okay, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
But it could have been a lot better. You know, Mike, what did you think of Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows when you saw it initially?
I thought it was fun.
But you did, what do you feel it was nostalgia clouding that a little bit, that opinion?
So-so.
It was certainly a lot better than Ninja Turtles, the first one. You know, from Michael Bay and director's first one, because that wasn't a Michael Bay-directed film. But yeah, I don't know. So going, you know, back with that also, you know, Suicide Squad, what did you think of, like, we could kind of use this as like an end of the year kind of thing. You know, like, what did you think overall of Suicide Squad?
I didn't like it as much as everybody else did.
I liked it, but yeah.
Honestly, I liked the side characters more, like Boomerang and them.
Yeah, Boomerang. I left that movie as a big fan of Captain Boomerang.
They kind of made the movie. Harley Quinn to me is just annoying.
I like Harley, but the thing is,
I never really got the whole Joker and the Harley obsession. I just find him really repulsive and annoying to be around.
It's the whole concept of the true romance kind of thing, and it's
the deranged assholes.
Yeah.
Would you invite them over to your dinner for play fucking categories? No.
No, because I don't want to be killed at the end of the night.
But like Joker, the letter is G, you did Fs. Then he just pulls out a pistol and shoots everybody.
Yeah. I mean,
fuck you, Joker.
My thing with Suicide Squad was it was a good film, but it could have been a lot better. And now with, you know, I'm thinking of video games now, but now with Warner Brothers doing their downloadable content, extended cuts, And by the way, that was not a slip. Anyway, I don't like them doing that. I think it's lazy filmmaking now, because it's giving them extra time to actually make the film good.
Or just make more money.
Yeah, because there are the suckers like me who will get the Blu-ray and will watch it after, you know, spending money to go see it in the theaters. And there are going to be a lot of people, because I've heard people already say it, I'm just going to wait for the home video release, because that's when the good
one will be. I did that with Watchmen. I got the director's cut.
Watchmen was
then
good
in theaters.
The
Ultimate Edition, like a huge thing that came with like the Black Freighter,
yeah.
And the digital comic and the motion comic.
It actually just got released on 4K.
Really?
Yeah, Blu-ray. 4K Blu-ray. And I saw that. I'm like, oh, shit. Watchmen. Oh, never mind. It's 4K. I don't have a 4K TV.
What the hell's 4K TV?
It's basically 4K resolution. Like, it's beyond Blu-ray.
Okay, so it's fancy.
It's like super crystal clear. It's like it's for like the hardcore cinephiles. You know? Mm. So you see that, and I don't know. I'm indifferent, to be completely honest. I'm indifferent to the whole thing. I just feel like, you know, it's just a movie, you know, with Suicide Squad, but they can do a lot better with it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, they can do a lot better. And at the end of the day, like, I think maybe more in line, like, looking back on it, my review of Suicide Squad would be a 7.5 out of 10 as well, just like Doctor Strange. But the thing is this, Doctor Strange felt like a finished movie. Suicide Squad, on the other hand, did not.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, David Ayers, the one who directed it, right? David Ayers, I think?
Mm, yep.
He openly went on, you know, the record and said, this is the finished product. Then how come Warner Brothers is releasing an extended cut?
I mean, at least they got some good costumes out of it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I do agree about that. Like, I mean, Katana is one of my favorite looking characters in the film. She had a cool look to her. But
I didn't see any Harley Quinn costumes.
Yeah. It's a whatever kind of thing. I know there was a ton of Harley Quinns for Halloween this year. Whatever. I do agree with the one thing somebody posted. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? People have been Batman for 94 fucking
years.
That's
true.
So I'm just like, yeah.
I really don't give a fuck. I just think it's funny to kind of make fun of it.
Yeah. I mean, if someone likes Harley Quinn, okay, cool.
Same could be said for Dr. Grant. So it was like one other Dr. Grant.
All three Dr. Grants that dressed up this year for Halloween. But yeah, I think I know one of them.
The original bastards.
Yeah. Some can have
How was your Halloween, Peter?
Some can have a beard for the Dr. Grant.
I never shaved my beard for any costume, as you can go on record and confirm.
I can confirm.
No matter who was it. Next year, I plan on being Ernest P. Worrell,
but
I'm not shaving the fucking beard.
You should shave the beard for that one.
Fuck them.
It's Ernest.
Yeah, and well, Ernest probably had a beard at one point.
It's a possibility. Anyway.
He's half stupid. You mean to tell me he knows how to shave?
Yeah, my Halloween, going back to what you're saying, was literally just me sitting at home reading, so.
Wow.
How about enlighten the crowd, Mike? How was yours?
When you're do Halloween with a 2-year-old, here's basically how it goes. Because they're all in a whole car seat phase, so car seats are like fucking NASA now. You got to fucking 27 latches, and you got to hop on one foot and do a blessing for the Pope to make sure it's locked properly. So after two houses, we called it quits.
Well, that was fun.
We went and seen guest of the show, Travis Atkins.
Right. How's
Bigger Rants. It's good.
He needs to come back.
He didn't get any trick-or-treaters.
In the interest of fairness, you live in the middle of nowhere.
We do live in the middle of nowhere, but his house had fucking smoke machines, Peter.
I did hear about it. I heard one of the smoke machines broke.
And goats.
The goats broke?
No, the smoke machines broke, but the goats were out there going, meh.
Yes, that's how goats go, Mike.
The goat goes, meh.
Or moo.
Moo.
There we go.
All right, let's get to going on our list.
So when I went to go see Doctor Strange, I was actually also treated to something special. Got to see...
Oh, the popcorn trick.
No.
Oh.
Hey, I actually got the Star Wars Rogue One bucket, and I was really happy that I got it. It was okay. Good popcorn. Anyway, so I got to see the newest trailer for Star Wars Rogue One, and believe it or not, it has actually not been released online yet.
Really?
So I got to see an exclusive trailer. Wasn't as excited about this trailer as I was Number One. Number One is still my personal favorite trailer. Might actually be out of all of the Star Wars trailers, to be completely honest. Although Episode One's trailer still does hold a special place near and dear in my heart, because remembering in 1998, booting up Netscape Navigator and watching it through a dial-up internet connection.
I was drunk the first time I saw it.
So you were 9 years old drunk.
I'm kidding.
Anyway, so
10.
Yeah. Well, you're younger than me.
Was it really?
Yeah, it came out in 98, so I was 10 years old then.
How fucking old are you?
I'm 37.
You fucking lying
in
bitch.
In a row. So, no, I would say the first Rogue One trailer might actually be my favorite because of the slow piano music of the dun, dun,
yeah.
Da, da, da.
I can do that on my piano.
It's so fucking cool. Like, it's the best way to introduce a trailer, you know? And I just felt that the newest trailer did not live up to the hype. Although, I would say, in all honesty, they know what they're doing. They really know what they're doing, but...
But it's supposed to be dark and gritty, Pete.
I don't give a shit about
the Obi-Wan whole, movie.
I don't give a shit about the whole dark and gritty aspect of a film. I just want it to be good. You know what I mean? And I feel we are on the right path with this movie. You know, what they're doing with this, what they're trying to accomplish, you know?
Yeah.
But, and that's a big but, I do feel...
You like big butts?
I cannot lie. But anyway, I would say... It wasn't the greatest. And as a matter of fact, out of all the trailers, once I saw the Lucasfilm logo pop up, I was like, oh shit, here we go.
I still remember the feeling I felt when I was sitting in the doctor's office room and saw the Lucasfilm come up for episode 7.
No 20th Century Fox, though.
Yep. But it was still, it grabbed you and you're like, whoa.
And then shakes you. Shakes
it
you.
Does.
But no, I don't know. I was enjoying it, but, you know... Out of all the trailers I saw that night, the one I actually got the most excited for was one I already saw. And that was Logan.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the PG-13 one. But I still was like, you know, you hear the Johnny Cash cover of Nine Inch Nails Hurt. And it was just, it was phenomenal. It was
a lot of people don't know that's a cover.
Yeah. But the funniest thing is Trent Reznor, you know, went on the record saying that's Johnny Cash's song now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool, though, you know, just watching that trailer on the big screen. And I will admit... Logan is a film I'm going to definitely be going for on, you know, opening night.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's almost like, in a way, because it's going to be the death of the character in a roundabout way.
Well, literally, they say he's going to die in it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Professor X dies, too.
It's like going to a cinematic funeral, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird thing. Like, when you think about it, you know, this is the final time we're going to see Hugh Jackman, perform as a character he became synonymous with.
Yeah.
When you say Hugh Jackman, what is the first image that pops in your mind?
Australian stuff, like a koala.
I was going to say this. I was going to say.
What shirt are you wearing, Pete?
It is a Steven Universe shirt.
It's, okay.
It's the pink shirt with the...
I thought it was like a
yellow star.
Arby's. What is it?
SpongeBob?
No, that one restaurant with the gold star. Hardee's.
No.
I thought you were wearing a Hardee shirt.
Anyway. No, I know. I have Hardee's t-shirts with the Matt and Jeff variety, but no.
You also have a what kind of shirt, Dad? What number?
A University at Buffalo Dad shirt.
Yeah.
I literally had to get it to make myself laugh. So, although the funniest part about it was I got it at a thrift shop at Salvation Army for like $2, and somebody pointed out, you as well, the comment of somebody had that shirt and didn't give enough a shit about their kid and sold it.
Or they died and their family just gave away their clothes.
It was a fairly new shirt.
Oh, really?
So.
So someone's like, I don't give a shit.
So, yeah, I've always found stuff like that funny. Like, there's a plan eventually where I want to get a World's Greatest Grandpa or Grandma t-shirt. Haven't decided which one. I just want to get one for the lulls, you know?
We should each get a World's Greatest Grandpa shirt and wear them to a con one day and see if anybody says anything.
Oh, God, that would actually be fucking amazing. Anyway, so now...
How old are you guys? One time, actually, fun fact, I went to the doctor and I was really sick.
Right.
And they asked me how old I was, and I told them...
Old enough to give a shit.
I told them I was 37.
In a row?
No, 37 years old, and I'm 27. So the nurse is like, you're 37? You're 37? And she wrote it down the paper, and she's sitting there, and she came back and said, okay, so you're 37, right? And I was like, no, I'm 27. She was like, oh, my God. She said, I just went and told everybody. So needless to say, she basically told everybody in the entire doctor's office that I was a 37-year-old man who looks like a 20-year-old.
It was impressive. Dude, I mean, the funniest thing is, though, myself, when I have my beard shaved off, like last, it was like, I think 2 years ago, I was 24, 25, and the woman, one random woman in a ShopRite, ShopRite's, if you're elsewhere in other states, like a supermarket chain in the New York, in the tri-state area.
Mm.
But anyway, she thought I was a high school kid.
Really?
Yeah. And she goes, how old are you? Or, oh, you're still going to school? And I'm like, I graduated from college like 2 years ago.
Have you gotten mistered yet by anybody?
No.
Some little dickhead scout kid called me mister a couple weeks ago.
For real?
He's like, mister, you want to buy some popcorn? I was like, fuck you.
Did you really say that?
Want to give me some popcorn?
No.
No, I gave him like a dollar and told him I don't like popcorn, which is false because I really like popcorn. I just don't like contributing to the Boy Scouts of America.
Makes sense. Fuck them.
Exactly. And their stupid morals.
You tell them. You tell them, Mike. You tell them.
I had a whole thing prepared as to why I didn't support the Boy Scouts of America, but he was like 7. I don't think he would have gotten it.
He probably wouldn't have.
No.
His eyes would have glassed over. He would have been like Homer Simpson, you know, when you're trying to explain something to him, just like... I try and explain for a fucking visual podcast or audio podcast just now. Anyway.
That's our new catchphrase.
But yeah, the Rogue One trailer, I liked it, but it wasn't the greatest trailer I've seen ever. You know, it was bleh.
It was a weak week for trailers.
Though the newest trailer for Wonder Woman got released, I thought that was okay as well. It wasn't the greatest.
Well, then again, what was it? Biggest complaint about trailers.
That they give away too much.
Exactly.
Kind of, we did get a lot given away with Wonder Woman, though.
What's there to give away, though?
She's a Wonder Woman.
Exactly.
So we got that. She's got that going for her.
And she's useless, according to... Not according to me, but according to... misquoting...
The portrayal in that film.
Yeah.
Which, if you listen to the episode Lips... Episode 60 of this here fine program with special guest Neil the Real Deal Adams.
Why do we call episode Lips?
It had something you said. I forgot what it was, but oh, it probably. Shit. But anyway, I digest or digress. Wanted to say digest. Want to see.
If I'm not doing very good. Well, digesting that pulled pork we had for lunch.
I am. I'm fine.
I'm not. I'm dying inside right now.
Wake me up inside. You can't wake up.
I'm gonna hit you with this miniature.
Why did
pumpkin.
That become a fucking meme?
I don't know, because it's not 1999 anymore.
That was a fucking 2003 song.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That era, I always find it funny that era is now getting made fun of so badly.
Can you see me?
But yeah, so anyway, now going back with the movies.
If you
stuff,
had the montage to one song, would it be Hero by Josie Scott and What's-His-Face or Wake Me Up Inside by Evanescence?
I have to go with Smash Mouth's, what's it called, All-Star.
Oh, yeah. That would be our montage song, I think.
I'm actually a big fan of this guy. He makes fun of himself, too. Calls himself, like, a neckbeard and everything. But what he likes to do now is take Smash Mouth's All-Star, like, any song, find a karaoke version of it, and sing over Smash Mouth's All-Star. So he took...
Oh, I think I've seen that.
He took the first one that became, like, a really big hit, but it was already done, but he's, like, discovering other songs. So, like, he did... Wake Me Up Inside, or that Evanescence song, Wake Me Up Inside, or whatever it was. And he was doing, you know, the, I can't wake up. Mm-hmm. But he did, Somebody Once Told Me, and he lined it up perfectly.
Yeah, I've seen that. You posted it, I believe.
It's some genius shit there, man. It's fucking hilarious. But anyway, digressing from that guy. Going back, I guess, to the Wonder Woman trailer, it was okay, just could have been a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know, would you... say you're excited for the Wonder Woman movie?
No.
I'm excited for it in the sense of we're finally getting a fucking Wonder Woman movie.
I mean, it's nothing against Wonder Woman. I just kind of honestly lost every bit of excitement for any DC movie right now. Like, no matter... Batman, Superman, as you can tell, we're 76 episodes in.
Justice League is where I'm excited.
Me too. I'm a little excited for that, but like after it was just such a wreck, that movie...
Right.
I literally have no excitement or joy for any DC live-action movie.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of...
they're just terrible.
They don't know what they're doing.
No, they don't.
But now they do with... you know.
They know what they want to do, but they're not doing it.
Under the creative direction of Geoff Johns. You know, I'll say this. I've watched the trailer for Justice League a ton of times.
I know, you were just watching it.
Yeah, and like, you know, I feel that's going to be a better film. Because of the creative direction of Jeff. Jeff knows what he's doing. But also, it really was heavily incorporating humor. Mm-hmm. It really...
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of happy to see that. And Jason Momoa's a funny, funny guy.
I'm more excited for Ezra Miller because he's really... like, his portrayal of Barry Allen is really funny.
There's a clip. I don't know if you've seen it, but I think it's like Ezra Miller, Ben Affleck, like Gal Gadot, and Jason Momoa, and they're doing a fight scene. And I guess his trident goes, he drops his trident while they're doing his fight scene. And then just like his choreographer, he reaches over his shoulder and grabs Gail's sword out of her holster and just whips it up. And
right.
They all lose character and start cracking up, obviously.
That's true.
But it was just so fluent. Like, that was part of the movie, almost. Right. It was cool. But I always liked Jason Momoa. He's hilarious.
He's a really good actor. I mean, they... Again, I just feel like they need the right pieces to the puzzle to make all of this shit work, you know?
My favorite interview is someone's interviewing him and says, oh, well, Jason, can you know, you're playing Aquaman. Can you swim? And he goes, bro, I'm Hawaiian.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it makes more sense that a Hawaiian guy's playing Aquaman, not, you know, blonde-haired, you know, surfer-looking guy.
Well, here's my one thing, and I wanted to get back to this with when we were mentioning about Barry Allen. Everyone bitches that in the TV show, Barry Allen has brown hair, and Ezra Miller in the, you know, the cinematic universe has brown hair. What the fuck does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that always, that always annoyed me. And then there's the people, you know, going on that, what's her name? The actress who plays Iris in the TV show. She's an African-American woman. Again, what about her character was necessary for her to be a white person? It didn't matter.
It's not like she was part of, like, a white pride community or anything.
It didn't mean shit. You know what I mean?
Like, I like the people who probably have an issue with it.
Why, like, you've seen these fans, Mike. We're going to go with the Barry Allen one. Why is it so important to them that Barry has to be blonde?
I don't know.
Like, that always was one of those things that rubs me the wrong way. Just like,
you're... Do you think Superman could be played by a black guy?
Yeah. Honestly, because what about the character? Again, he's an alien.
Honestly, I don't think it would ever do that.
Well, this is the one thing that I always found funny was when they did the new series. I think it's called All New Superman or something, and it's a Chinese Superman.
Oh, yeah, and people thought it was Clark Kent.
Yeah, because people who don't, you know, click on articles for things. So they'll see a headline, have shock, outrage, pretend to never read the comics. Pretend to read the comics that they weren't going to read in the first place. And again, I, you know, the thing about this that annoys me is what, like, and it's being ironic right now because I'm bitching about this, but what is the point about complaining about something that you don't need to watch, you don't need to read, you don't need to consume as a consumer? You know what I mean? I've never understood that. Like, for example, you know, friend of the show, Kevin Gill of the Kevin Gill Show, which just actually launched on a new podcast network. Kevin, you're going to kill me. Forgot the name of it. But anyway, you know, why waste that time complaining about something that you don't like when you could talk about what you do like? Like, this show... Believe, like, we may complain about something, but we still have the elements of it that we like. That's why, like, we have topics in here that we still talk about because we like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I may complain about something, like, having to do with DC, but I still am a DC fan. Am I a hardcore DC fanboy? No. But this is the thing that, you know, balances you and I out. You're a hardcore DC fan. I'm a hardcore Marvel guy. Although, I seem to notice someone wants to get into Spider-Man soon, so...
It's not that I like Marvel Comics. But it's just that I got hooked on DC Comics.
Right.
I flip-flopped over the years.
Yeah.
Years ago, I liked Spider-Man. Then I transitioned to Green Lantern. You know, you know your style changes after you kind of get, you know, a taste for something.
Like, I'm currently my big X-Men kick. You know what I mean? Like, really big X-Men kick.
I always kind of like Swamp Thing, but I didn't love Swamp Thing the way it did until like 2014.
Right. And
I remember
obsession.
What hooked me? Exactly. I think I found a couple books or something, just started flipping through them, and that was it.
Right.
I'm still, you know, hooked on Swamp Thing. I love Swamp Thing, Constantine, all that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's...
But you know what? Fuck you. If you don't like it, don't read it. Yeah. Don't watch it.
Don't,
it's easy.
Don't listen to it either, you know?
I don't like mozzarella cheese sticks. You know what? I don't eat them.
Really?
I don't like them. Wow. No. I just don't like mozzarella cheese sticks.
It happens to the best.
But I buy them for my daughter. I buy them for you.
Well, yeah, that's my little keto snack when I'm here.
Fun fact. Whenever Pete comes over, I always make sure I have a stock of mozzarella sticks.
It helps. It really helps.
That's Pete's secret to his longevity and his weight loss.
Yes. So anyway, now going back to Marvel and stuff, they just revealed that the Inhumans might be coming to the Marvel Cinematic Universe again because they actually put the film on hold. They might be a part of Phase 4, the phase that's going to take place after the whole Infinity War.
So after, like, 2020.
Yeah, something like that.
Jeez.
I don't care enough, to be honest. Mm. Although something that I've been noticing, we haven't really heard much news on the new X-Men film, other than Logan. Mm-hmm. We haven't heard much about Gambit.
You know why, right?
I'm going to say this. You say why.
Why do you think they stopped Gambit all of a sudden? Like, yeah, we're not doing Gambit.
I have the strangest feeling, because I've seen recent X-Men merchandise in stores, I've seen recent I've seen T-shirts at Hot Topic. I've seen action figures in Walmarts and Toys R Us throughout the country. Do you think Fox and Marvel partnered up to be able to bring the X-Men into that universe?
Guarantee you. That's why all of a sudden they're cutting Logan. They're going to kill Logan off. This Logan, I guarantee you, this Logan movie is going to be their last X-Men franchise movie.
Yeah, but the thing is, they're still saying they're planning on doing Deadpool. They're planning on doing
X-Force. Deadpool.
Do you think it's going to... I would like to see them find a way to sneak this version of Deadpool into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Because they can.
It's easy, too. It's Deadpool.
Yeah.
And you could be like, oh, what am I... And what's... Colossus is a time traveler? No, not Colossus. Cable's a time traveler or a dimension traveler?
Colossus is the big metal guy. You're thinking of...
Cable. I know. I fixed myself. But I guarantee you there's someone somewhere in there who goes through different dimensions. It's the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They can do what the fuck they want.
Yeah.
There could be a time portal. All of a sudden, oh, what's going on? There's a riff in the thing. Hey, who's that fucking guy with the red suit on with the black eyes?
Satanic Santa?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's... And by the way, I think we have an episode title for today, Satanic Santa. But
I love it.
So, Santanic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tito Santanic.
Oh, Jesus. Anyway, speaking of the Marvel Universe, Jeremy Renner was actually in an interview and said he would be up for playing Hawkeye if they do a Netflix series for him.
Hawkeye?
Yes.
All right.
So now, I think the idea of a Hawkeye Netflix series would rule as long as they have it based in, he leaves his family for a little bit of time, he lives in Brooklyn, and they basically adapt...
Maybe he got a divorce.
They adapt the Matt Fraction run from early 2000s.
Is that the one you let me read?
Yeah, and wasn't it a great run?
Yeah.
Do you still have my copy of it?
No, I'll give it back.
Okay,
Don't look at me like that.
No, because I forgot if I got it back.
You still got my copy, you bitch.
But anyway, I highly recommend checking that run out, because if they ever decide to do this, that is the most critically acclaimed run of the character. So I have a feeling that if it happens, that's going to be the one they base it off of. Because to be honest, I love Jeff Lemire, but man, did his run suck. I dropped that immediately. But anyway, so now also speaking of, the Marvel Universe, Aaron Taylor Johnson said that he actually would like to play Quicksilver again if he's given the opportunity in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Obviously, most people will say, yes, I want to make millions of dollars again.
My question is, going back to this whole merger thing, hypothetically speaking, if they combine universes, which Quicksilver will they keep?
I would assume they're going to keep the one that's alive.
Yeah.
I would assume as much. If anything...
You made a good point. I was always in the back of my head, but now that it's starting to make more sense.
They have like...
They didn't even announce... Bryan Singer hasn't even announced that there's any other X-Men movies coming out, right?
They are doing one that's going to take place in the 90s, apparently.
Of course.
So it's up in the air, but I haven't heard anything in a while. But good. Then again, it's kind of early for
me. I think it's time, and I hate that super meme, to give X-Men back to Marvel.
But the thing is this, they won't want to do it.
They have to do it. They're both losing money on it.
Hey, I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah, they're losing money if they don't.
I mean, at the end of the day...
They could eventually do X-Men versus Avengers.
I don't know if I would want to see that so soon.
No?
I would wait on that. Build that up. Let that let the mutant menace, as they'd probably call it, let that build up.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you have, you have something smart with this, if it makes sense.
Yeah.
Let it make sense, let it build up to the proper crescendo, and then boom, baby, you got a soup going on or a stew going on. Put a couple bones in there.
Have we talked about Rambo being rebooted?
No, but it's actually let's get into that.
I didn't see it on our list, but yes, they're saying that Rambo is going to be rebooted.
Really?
Stallone will be the director of it too. They're not saying what time. They didn't say if it's going to be a period piece, which honestly, I think the only way Rambo works is if it's set around that era.
Right. Yeah. Like the Cold War and whatnot.
Yeah. Around right after, I think Rambo was early 80s, after Vietnam and everything.
Right.
Because he's a Vietnam vet. And I only think Rambo can work in that time era. Not currently, because it would just be another action flick.
Right.
I always saw Rambo not as an action movie, but more of a psychological thriller.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm indifferent about the whole thing because I'm not really much of a fan of, you know, Rambo.
Mm-hmm.
Never was in the first place.
Okay.
But if it happens, hey, you know, more power to him. I would dig seeing that. That'd be cool. Give, you know, the character to a new generation, give a new character, you know, new portrayal.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not so heavily invested where I'm one of those like, oh, why are they rebooting these things? Stop ruining my childhood. I don't give enough of a shit.
No,
so if they do it, you know, if he dies, he dies, which is, you know, a different movie, but still, you know, would I be down with it?
It could be as good as Paul Feige's Ghostbuster reboot, which was good. I watched it again the other day, and it was
you saw
fucking
fun. You saw the extended cut, though. And this is the thing.
It was funny. I think people who don't say it's good.
Do they go into
are just bandwagon jumpers to kind of look cool? Like, yeah, it's lame, right?
They go in to hate things.
It's like the, you know, you remember in high school there was a kid who wasn't a bully who was kind of your friend, but when you got made fun of, he kind of jumped in and made fun of you just to seem cool, also, so he didn't get made fun of.
Yeah,
that's what those assholes are doing. That's all they're doing.
This is the
they're just making fun of something that seemed cool.
They're someone who hasn't even watched it.
Oh, yeah, just for the sole purpose of other people saying, oh, it's lame, right?
And if you end up admitting, oh, I actually did like this, you're in the wrong.
Yeah, that's because there is one person who thinks the movie's bad versus thousands, and for some reason they think the thousands of people who like it are the assholes.
But again, here's one thing, and I will continue standing by this. You know, like things you want to like. Don't waste your time with the negativity.
Like I said about the cheese sticks, if you don't like it, don't preach about it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, no thank you, I don't like cheese sticks.
Fun fact to the audience out there, do you know Kevin Gill doesn't like olives? Now you do.
You don't have to eat olives.
Yeah, he doesn't talk about it. And I like the way he brought that up. He's like, I don't like this, so why am I wasting my time talking about something I don't like? That's pointless. Spend your time embracing, enjoying what you really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like, oh, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this. Who gives a shit? Who gives a shit what you hate? Like what
people who care enough about you to maybe change their mind. I don't know.
Like what you want to like, you know? Yeah. Tastes change too. Like, you know,
you want to see me and Kevin Gilley in pile of cheese sticks and black olives together. That's for sure.
Right.
But I like black olives.
I like green olives.
I bet he likes cheese sticks.
I'll text him right now.
Mozzarella cheese sticks.
But yeah, you know, I just think the idea of, you know, keeping positive. And it's, again, you know, the PMA, positive mental attitude. You know,
if Kevin and I went to school together and he brought a big pile of olives in and I brought cheese sticks in, I'd be like, Kevin, want to trade?
Once again, I believe his website is kevingillshow.com. Give him a listen and tweet him, at OG Kevin Gill. Tell him...
do you like mozzarella cheese sticks?
Tell him we said hi. But yeah, so, I don't know. I just feel like, you know, it's, again, going back to that topic, it is a waste of time to, like, go on about the fucking Ghostbusters movie in a negative way. If you did,
it was funny. My favorite part of the movie was when they're in the firehouse and she tells her to rent and she's like, fuck you. Like, it caught me off guard. I didn't think they would drop an F-bomb in that movie.
Well, that was, again, you saw the extended cut.
Yeah.
The original, theatrical cut didn't have that. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, but I fucking thought that the whole, it was a funny movie. I don't get what everybody says that Melissa McCartney's not funny.
This is the thing about that movie that I found really interesting. I would get texts from people, and I'm not exaggerating. I got about 4 to 5 people messaging me this over the past month. I just saw the new Ghostbusters movie. I really liked it. It was better than I expected.
In the, oh, it looks like Scooby-Doo. Yeah, no, it looks better than Scooby-Doo because it was made 10, 12 years after Scooby-Doo.
But again, it's a hive mind mentality. Like, people will, you know, go on.
It's just repetitive shit, though. They say someone says something negative. It's like... Anyway, let's go on, because we're, like we said, don't talk about negative shit. We're giving these people more assholes more power by talking about their negativity.
That's true. You got to
fuck them.
F-U-C-K-M. Fuck them.
Yep. Mike Noren, 2016.
So anyway, yeah, I mean, going, you know, away from that and going over to the Netflix show The Defenders.
Back to Marvel.
They're saying that Elektra is going to be a part of the upcoming Defenders show.
I thought that was a known thing already.
I know the only person that has been announced, like, other than, you know, the main core, and I'm thinking of the Punisher series, because the only person confirmed for Punisher is the actress who plays Karen Page. And, you know, going with Karen Page, like, speaking of her character, highly recommend checking out Born Again. You know, in all honesty, that is, like, the best Daredevil story of all time. You know, the Frank Miller, David Mazzucchelli 1980s run. I think this was right after I believe this was 1986, 87, right after he did Dark Knight Returns. So it's like Miller in his prime. And it's like, you can, there's every Daredevil story Miller did was fucking amazing, you know?
Yeah.
He's responsible for, like, with the, you know, the death of Elektra. The Elektra Assassin series is great as well. Elektra, I think it's Elektra Returns or Elektra something again.
Elektra Rides Again.
Yeah. But no, just a lot of really cool stuff. And if you, you know, if you have Marvel Unlimited, I highly, highly, highly recommend checking out any of Frank Miller's run, which I believe is all on there. So anyway, Marvel, please, 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 if you're listening out there, hey, we would love more than anything for sponsorship from you guys to help plug Marvel Unlimited. You know, maybe give us some like digital code so we can be able to have our fine audience use your fine service. It's the Netflix of comics, but just Marvel. So anyway, now also going away from that, but staying in the superhero realm, a Power Ranger Lego set might be a possibility because it's on the Lego Ideas page.
I've seen that. It's getting quite a bit of momentum.
Somebody made up these little minifigs and a whole setup, including an Alpha 5. Dude, I am 110% for this idea.
I think it would be cool. It was a command center, right?
Yeah, it was the command center. I believe it had like a Zordon in there. And it had every the five Rangers, red, blue, yellow, black, and pink. And then it also had both versions of Tommy, green and white.
Oh, wow. I'm looking at it right now.
And it's, you know, phenomenal stuff. And, like, if you want to see it happen, you vote for it.
Yeah.
So if you want to see it happen, if you want to see that bad boy set turn into a reality, vote. Just like you should all vote tomorrow in the U.S. election if you live in the United States.
Please vote.
Doesn't matter who you vote for, just vote, because people died for that right for you.
They did.
Random, like, political soapbox thing, but really, people voted. Like, I'm not a Trump guy, don't really give a shit, but guess what? People are allowed to fucking like whoever they want to fucking like.
If they like fucking Power Ranger Legos.
Exactly. So anyway.
Which I like right now because I'm looking them up.
And by the way, you know what else you have a right to? The right to be able to go on www.audibletrial.com/audibly exquisite. And you're going to be able to get an audiobook of your choosing from thousands upon thousands to choose from, including my book I've been listening to, The Inside, or something, The Monkey. No, sorry. I've been actually listening to Slaughterhouse-Five by
really?
Kurt Vonnegut. Yeah, big Kurt Vonnegut head. I was going to go with Monkey House, but like I decided not to get that book.
I've been having World War Z by Max Brooks read to me.
Really good book.
It is.
I actually found my copy.
Movie.
I found my copy of it, and it's different too, man. Max Brooks openly admitted he doesn't care for the movie, I believe. So anyway, once again, go to www.audibletrial.com/audibly exquisite. Sign up and choose from thousands of audiobooks. You can cancel at any time if you don't enjoy it. But when you sign up and use that web URL, audibletrial.com/audibly exquisite, you're going to get a free audiobook of your choosing. So now also, Mike, once again, you know, going back to movies and stuff, Quentin Tarantino has confirmed that he will be retiring after his next two films. And in all honesty, it's not that much of a surprise because the guy has openly said in the past that after 10 movies, he's done.
Really?
And it kind of bums me out, but hey, you know, the body of work he's already given us in pop culture has been phenomenal, you know. Mike, what would you say is your favorite Tarantino film?
Pulp Fiction.
I have to go with Pulp Fiction or
Reservoir Dogs.
I would also go with Jackie Brown. You know, I was a big fan of, you know, a lot of the soul music that was in there. I really enjoyed it. Great story, underrated performance from everybody involved. You know, you had Robert De Niro, Samuel L. Jackson, Pam Grier, you know, the main star. And also Michael Keaton. He was one of the cops in there. Just amazing stuff from beginning to end.
I've never seen that one, actually.
Highly recommend it. I'll lend you my copy of it. But yeah, I mean, if it happened, like, what would you say is your least favorite Tarantino film?
I don't know. I can't really think of one I don't like that much to say I don't like it.
I mean, I haven't seen the film he did for Grindhouse, which I believe was Planet Terror.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was the driving one. I forgot the name of that right now. Because he did the driving one, and Planet Terror was done by Robert Rodriguez.
Okay.
So, I mean, if I had to go with the least favorite, I guess right now for me, Kill Bill, only because, but I still like it. But if I had to go with the least favorite, it would be Kill Bill. but I've only seen Kill Bill Volume 1. I'm a terrible Tarantino fan. A terrible TT.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, honestly, Tarantino, he is a major influence, you know, in a lot of, like, I have a lot of friends who are in the filmmaking industry, and Tarantino is a big influence on all of them. So, to see him go is a sad thing, but, again, to leave behind that body of work, and especially with the quality, my God. I've never seen a director knock it out of the park with every single film he directed. You know?
Like, yeah.
Major budget films. Oh, my God. Like, even, you know, True Romance. Actually, if I had to go with one, I would go with, like, the second half of True Romance.
Yeah?
Because he didn't direct it, but he wrote it. And I didn't care for the second half, but, man, did I love the first half with Christian Slater. And, you know, also speaking of Christian Slater, you know, his Mr. Robot co-star, Rami Malek. People tweet us at Peter Melnick, at the AA Podcast, and at Mike_Norin if I fucked up that spelling. Or I fucked up that pronunciation. But yeah, I mean, he's going to be playing the role of Freddie Mercury in the Queen biopic.
I think that should be fun.
That's going to be fucking crazy.
Does VH1 still do those?
No, they don't do those
anymore.
Remember
the Def Leppard one?
I remember the MC Hammer one.
Mm-hmm.
They were all pretty awful.
The Def Leppard one was pretty bad.
Yeah.
I learned to play with one arm.
But yeah, I mean, with, you know, with the Rami Malek thing, what do you think about that? Like, does he look the part?
Yeah, give him a mustache.
I don't know if he really looks the part to me. Maybe that's just me. But I don't know. I'm a big fan of Queen, but yeah, I was more in line for the movie to happen when it was Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah.
He looks the part 110%. He, you know, right down to the facial, you know, features and everything, and then he got pulled from it because the movie was going to be a warts and all biopic.
Really?
And Freddie Mercury's estate and Queen, you know, the band Queen, they said, no, you're not doing that.
Really?
They want it to be all, you know, sunshine and roses. So, does that suck? Yeah, but you gotta deal with whatever happens. But, Mike, if you were casting, would you go with Rami or would you go with
Sacha?
Yeah,
I would go with Sacha.
Same here. Sacha was amazing. Like, in, you know, in a lot of, like, in his non-character roles, like, you know, Borat and Bruno and Ali G, he does amazing work. I loved.
There's a side by side comparison of the two.
Yeah, and if you go on Google image search, just type in Sacha Baron Cohen and Freddie Mercury, and you'll see, like, an uncanny resemblance.
Holy crap, look at this one.
I would also go with like a less gigantic version of Dan the Beast Severn, you know, UFC Hall of Famer. He looks just like Freddie Mercury. Look it up, Mike, if you can. But Dan the Beast Severn and Dan the Beast Severn and Freddie Mercury, a clear visual match made in heaven. It's visually exquisite. So now our final topic for today's fine program. They just revealed, like, somebody pointed out that in the downloadable sort, or the source code, I guess, for Pokemon Go, the newest update, Generation 2 Pokemon from Gold and Silver and Crystal are finally coming to Pokemon Go.
Awesome.
In the very near, like, in the not too distant future, next Sunday AD. No. But, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely excited for it. I think seeing the Generation 2 characters coming into the game will be a big deal. You know, there's a lot of already burnout from people I know. Like, they just revealed that Ditto just finally got released in some areas, you know? But, yeah, if they do this, it definitely brings a little bit more longevity to the game. When was the last time you played Pokemon Go? Be honest.
Maybe, like, 4 days last week, maybe?
Same. I pulled
my... I think during the Halloween update, because I knew they did the Halloween update, and you could get 6 candies for every catch you got.
Yeah, I mean,
that kind.
I know I haven't played it. Like, I think I played it randomly when I went to Middletown last week, Middletown, New York.
It's hard from where we live.
Well, they did point out, like, aren't they going to try and change it in areas where it's more than just fucking Rattatats and Pidgeys?
Around me, honestly, I got a lot of Nidoranas and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it kind of gets old seeing those after a while.
Mankeys, I got Gastlys.
Never got Mankey.
Yeah, I got a Mankey around here once in a while.
Yeah, I mean... It is, like, I'm waiting for the aspect of, you know, fighting other trainers. I believe that's still not available.
I've been saying that since it came out. That should have been their first thing they got.
They did. Well, they want to get it perfect. You can tell.
Their shitty gym system where you got to battle level 3,000 Gyarados.
The thing I love about Nintendo is the fact...
Yeah, actually, look. I pull up the game. Look what's around here right now.
Yeah, there's a Mankey.
Bellsprout, Mankey, Golbat, Eevee, Caterpie.
I mean, in all honesty, the thing I like about Nintendo is they're perfectionists. Mm-hmm. They're absolute fucking perfectionists. They want the games.
Oh, speaking of which, that Nintendo system's coming out very soon.
Yeah, I believe it's coming out this upcoming week.
Well, might need to place a pre-order on it, or just buy it.
It's definitely a system you'd have to pre-order. I know that for a fact.
Yeah? You think it's going to sell that quick?
Yeah, there's already, like, all the pre-orders were sold out at various stores now.
Oh, damn.
But they're actually bringing back the Nintendo Power line.
I heard that. That's so weird.
I'm excited. They're doing all these really cool things for it. Whatever works, you know. And Mike even has like a Gengar in his game now.
Caught them on Halloween. Shop right parking lot.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's super spoopy. So anyway, now, Mike, I believe that wraps up this fine program for the listening audience at home. So before we go, once again, let's go from the top to the bottom. You go to www.gunnageek.com and find a wide variety of geeky goodness, including shows such as the Gunna Geek podcast. You can also go to www.patreon.com/audibly exquisite and help support this here fine program.
Tell them some of the things they can get, Peter.
You can be able to get a Audibly Exquisite newsletter. Every single donation or pledge a month gets that. You also can be able to get a custom show of your choosing, and also for $50, you can be able to be on this fine program every other month. So once again, www.patreon.com/audibly exquisite. You can also find us on social media on facebook.com/audibly exquisite. You can find us on Instagram at the AE Podcast, at Peter Melnick,
and at Mike_Norn.
You can also find us on Instagram at
Audibly Exquisite.
And let's see what else. You can also find us on the worldwide interwebs at www.audiblyexquisite.com. And finally, rate, review, subscribe, and share on iTunes. Spread the word like Nutella. And you can also stream this fine program. I keep saying that. But you can find us on Podomatic, TuneIn Radio, and Stitcher Radio. Once again, have them stream to your iOS or Android device, or even on your laptop, or on a thing. So anyway, for Peter Melnick, I'm Peter Melnick.
And for Mike Norn, don't forget to get out and vote, folks. Have an audibly exquisite week. Thank you.